to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30, Jesus made some statements that have blessed me immensely over the years. And it says in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Praise the Lord. How many of you are so thankful that serving God is not, according to this verse, is not a burden? All those who labor and are heavy laden are not in his rest. And he said, "Come and I'll give you rest." Then he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Rest unto your souls. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Praise God. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, if whatever you're doing spiritually, you know, serving in helps ministry, or your time of fellowship with God in the mornings, reading your Bible, getting out of bed to go to church, just anything that you're doing spiritually, or walking by faith, you know, believing God for something, just anything. You know, walking in love with someone. You know what I'm talking about? According to the Bible, and we'll see some other things as we go, if it's hard, we're doing it wrong. I wanted to let that sink in. If it's hard, we're doing it wrong. Do you see what he said? "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Whatever I ask you to do, and you know the Word asks us to walk in love. The Word asks us to serve in health ministry. The Word asks us all these things. It gives these directions. If we're doing it and it's hard, we're not in the flow of God. Because he said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Light and easy. Light, not heavy and hard. The opposite of light and easy is heavy and hard. He didn't say it's heavy and it's hard. You know, some Christians, that's all they talk about, how hard the way is, how difficult it is to serve God, all their tests and their trials and their troubles. And, you know, forget the great tribulation. They're living in it now. You know what I'm talking about? They just tribulate. Everything is tribulation, hard and tribulation and difficult and grievous. And God says to do this, and it's a struggle. Something isn't right. I said, something isn't right. Come on. So I said, something isn't right. There's a wrong voice we're listening to if it's always hard and a struggle. Because here he said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." That doesn't mean we won't go through tests and trials. The Bible says we will. "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation." He didn't say if, he said when. But if we do it right. I said, if we do it right, it will be light and easy. Paul was persecuted more than any of us can ever even think or imagine would happen to any of us. And he said, "These light afflictions are but for a moment." To him, it wasn't a heavy thing. It's what your attention is on. It's what your focus is on. People that are always belaboring what God says for them to do. It's hard to get out of bed and get to church on time. You know, it's funny how whenever their recreation, their favorite recreation, when the day comes that they get to do that, it's funny how they can pop right out of bed. It's not hard at all. I mean, they wake up before the alarm clock goes off. What's the difference? Well, we're going to talk about what the difference is today. There's several things that are different. One is unwillingness. You know what I'm talking about? They're in a flow of the flesh. When it's hard, whenever serving God or doing the will of God, serving in helps ministry, walking in love, walking by faith, tithing and all these things, whenever that's hard, you're trying to do it by the efforts of your flesh. If you and I will learn to live out of our spirits, live out of the inward man, the Bible says in Matthew 26:41, there when Jesus was, right before Jesus went to the cross, and he was trying to get the disciples to pray with him, could you not pray with me and watch with me in 1 hour, remember that? And then he said this, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's a willingness on the inside of you for spiritual things and to do spiritual things that was sown in there when you got born again. It delights in the things of God. The inner man, you got to know this. The inner man wants the things of God. It wants to serve God. It wants to walk in love. That's its nature. It wants to walk in the increase of God. It wants to do all these things. It wants to get fed, come to church and get fed. It desires all those things. It's the flow of the flesh that makes it hard. We're not in God's easy flow out of our spirit. We're in the flesh's hard flow because it doesn't want some things. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching pretty good. I've always enjoyed being around believers who make things look easy. Because that's skill. I said that's skill. Whenever people make serving look easy, let me tell you what that looks like whenever they make serving look easy. There's a great big smile on their face and there's a delightfulness about them. Absolutely. Have you ever watched some of the Broadway shows and so forth, and there's a tremendous amount of choreographed, dancing or whatever, and they're up there doing it, and they're smiling. They're all smiling. They teach them to smile. It makes it look very easy, but in all reality, it is a huge attention thing to keep in step with everybody and all of that, but they're up there smiling, and it looks easy.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And so I've always enjoyed being around believers who make it look easy because really when it comes to spiritual things, you can draw the easiness of things out of your spirit because it's really already in there. Listen, the easy flow, people say, well, you know, they make it look easy. Things of the spirit are literally easy. It's the flesh or our attitude or our attention on what the flesh wants or doesn't want that makes it difficult. We turn them hard. I said we turn them hard. We make it hard when it's not. Stick with me now. You'll get something out of this. And whenever we turn it hard, it becomes hard, not because it is hard, but because we made it hard. We made it hard. How many of you know part of raising your children is training them not to make everything hard by the attitude that they have in everything they do? You can raise delightful children by getting that out of them, by making them learn to flip a little switch on the inside and say, yes, I love being obedient. It saves my life. It's my long life. Here's where I want to be obedient because it's my long life, you know. So I've always enjoyed being around people who make it look easy because the reason they make it look easy is because it actually is easy. They've just tapped into the easy flow. That's really already there in God. I said it's already there in God. Whenever a person gets into the easy flow, that means they are skilled in doing something and they're excellent at it. It shows they understand it. Isn't that right? When people do things with joy, it's easy to them. You ever watch somebody do something and there's a strain on their face and they're, it's hard. They're really gritting and but whenever they're smiling, it shows this is easy for them. This is easy for them. Isn't that right? Well, how many of you know you can get to that place in everything spiritual that God asks you to do? You can become skilled. You can learn to obey with joy and get in the easy flow when your flesh doesn't want to do something. Your flesh doesn't want to walk in love. It's screaming, but you're not listening to it. You're dipping down into the love of God down on the inside, and you're smiling and being very gracious whenever they're just being a jerk. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody looks at you and they wouldn't know that your flesh is going, jerk, jerk. But you're just smiling and delightful. Because you're not paying attention to that. You're paying attention to what's coming out of your spirit. The compassion and love of God coming out of your spirit. Hallelujah. If you'll check down in your spirit, you're the same way. Your spirit is drawn to the easy flow. Instinctively. You know on the inside, that's the flow your heavenly Father has chosen for you. Amen. Your job is to choose that flow, accept and not to accept anything less in life. Make a decision the rest of my life. It's not going to be hard to obey God. All I got to do is find out what it is, and then I'm going to be a delightful, obedient, willing, joyful responder. Amen. Amen. It's a choice. I like making the right choice because I get the right results. Amen. When you know in your spirit, you know that God's will is for you to do something, then reject anything that tries to make that hard. Any attitudes or anything like that. You don't have to produce the easy flow. You just have to accept it and get in it. The flow of ease in all the things that God's speaking to your heart about, whether it be through the Word or through the Spirit living on the inside of you, all those things are a choice to get in the easy flow. They're all easy to do. Yeah. Well, it's just so hard to tithe. Well, that's wrong thinking. That's wrong thinking. What's hard is when you can't figure out where the money's going to come from. That's what's turning it hard. And so your head's making it hard. But really, it's not hard. If God wanted to make something hard, He could have. You know, you got to flap your arms and fly up into the sky 1,000 feet and you know, hold yourself there for 15 minutes and then God will bless you or something. I'm just making something stupid up. He could have made it hard. But He didn't. He just said, the first tenth is mine. Or believe you receive and you shall have. Isn't that right? So it's not a matter of producing the easy flow. It's just a matter of accepting it and getting into it. Like I said, if it's hard, you're not doing it right. Because the Bible says His commandments are not grievous. I said they're not grievous. The hardness comes by wrong response. You're focused on the wrong things. Your attention's on the wrong things. Amen. You can attend to the desires of your flesh and until the turn the will of God grievous. What was really easy is really becomes grievous. So you have to learn to dip down into your spirit because Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, he said, the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. Well, how are you going to get that willingness out? Go to Isaiah chapter number 12. Go to Isaiah chapter number 12. Everybody's awake this morning, right? Isaiah chapter number 12 and verse number 3. Here's how to get things out of your spirit. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. When your flesh is screaming, it doesn't want to do it. It doesn't want to walk in love. It doesn't want to keep walking by faith. It doesn't want to go to Abacon. You can get past all that. You can get past all that. You can lay that aside. Don't struggle with it. Just lay it aside. Don't fight it and try to beat it up, knock it out. Just lay it aside. Stop yielding to it and yield to what's in your spirit. And start expressing expressions of joy about thy delight to do your will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Notice where it comes from. It comes out of your heart. Your inward man delights to do the will of God. I have noticed over and over again, the devil, you see, everybody's got things that the devil tries to use in their life. And one of the things he tries to use on me, now I don't mean I struggle with it, I just means I have to keep my foot on it. And that is, I don't want to, whenever it's time to go travel and preach, I guess people think we just like to do that to get out of town, get away, or do whatever. You got to know that my flesh is always grumpy about it. I like being here. I like the blessings we have and the things that I'm, you know. It's nice to not have to pack and get on an airplane. I'm talking about on the flesh and sleep on hard beds that you didn't choose and it's harder than the one you like, and you know what I'm talking about. So when people see us doing things, don't get the idea that we're just fleshly, you know, go woohoo. Because usually that's not there until I go. And then my spirit goes, woohoo. But see, I've chosen to say, I'm not going to live in some reluctant, unwilling, disobedient attitude anywhere in my life, in any time, at any time, in any area. That's no way to live the rest of your life, just begrudging everything and bemoaning everything and you know, wishing you didn't have to do it. What blessing is there in that? So you got to draw it up with expressions of joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can dance all that stuff off of you. You can shout all that stuff off of you. Woo! I said you can shout it and dance it right off of you. Get skilled at living this way and get skilled at bringing the joy of the Lord up out of your spirit and to where you delight in it. I'm so glad. Have you ever, how many times have you done this? Let me ask you this. Has anyone ever, you know, woken up, maybe you had maybe it was this morning, I don't know. You had a busy week, I mean a lot of stuff, a lot of busy schedule and everything, and Sunday morning came and you're like, oh, first morning I get to sleep in. Oh, it'd be so nice to just lay right here. And you struggle with it, and you struggle finding, I know, I better go. And so you sort of drag yourself into the shower and into the car and into the building. And then something changes. Your spirit gets edified. You get strengthened. People around you, their fellowship encouraged you. Things happened that gave you answers and everything, and you go home just full of joy, and you're like, why did I ever not want to come? You need to settle it right now. The flesh is stupid. It thinks it knows what you want or what you need, and it doesn't. Amen. It just doesn't know what you really, what will really satisfy you on the inside, what will really give you the victory, what will really keep you on top of the tests and trials, but your spirit getting what he wants, that's what will put you over in life. Not laying in bed getting what your flesh wants. And it makes it easy. The more you yield to that, the easier it gets to get out of bed and just say no to the flesh. Oh, I'm about to preach myself happy. Amen. The Bible said, James 1:2, count it all joy, my brethren. There's times you need to count it joy. Woo, I get to go to Abacon. Woo, it's Sunday morning church time. Woo, today's helps ministry time. Woo, I'm going to bring my tithes and my offerings. Count it all joy means it's not, you're putting it to your account that I'm joyful about this. Your flesh is going, I don't enjoy this. You go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You start drawing it up out of your inward man. And as soon as you just start drawing it up and it splashes all over you and gets in your soul and your mind and your emotions, your mind and your emotions, your soul, you go, oh, I'm so glad we did this. And you go, shut up, you silly thing, you. you didn't want to just an hour ago. And you decide, okay, I just made a decision. I'm never going to listen to that voice again because it's a lie. It doesn't satisfy me. Doesn't give me the answers to life. Hallelujah. So get good at living this way, not just going to church and rejoicing, but living this way. When reluctance or unwillingness tries to get a hold of you, to you know, and you don't want to do something that God's been dealing with you to do, you just need to learn to get it off of you by drawing that joy up out of your spirit. It's right in there. It's waiting for you to draw on it. Hallelujah. Remember whenever I told you we were traveling and went out for a year and then came back, took 2 weeks of Christmas off, and then got in the car to go to our next meeting the first part of January that second year, and I was grumpy. Remember the Lord said, "You're angry at me?" And he said, "You shout at the top of your voice, 'I delight to do your will, O God.'" So I did that, and when I did it, something broke on the inside. And all of a sudden, I'm like, "Oh, I can't wait to get to this meeting. We're going to have a time, and then we're going to go here, and then we're going to go there. Woo!" But see, you can break through that stuff, that fleshiness. How do you do it? You got to draw joy up out of the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. And Psalm 8:2 says, talking about Jesus quoted this in the New Testament. He said, through the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast Jesus quoted in the New Testament, perfected praise, that you may still and silence, the King James says, the voice of the adversary. Those voices that are opposing you from doing the will of God, you can silence those voices. How? By praise. By praise. You can praise your way past all that. I know of a person. I know of I'll tell you who it is. It's Pastor Nancy made this statement about her son Grant Dufresne, who's called the pastor. She said that he just loves to travel. Stephen, not so much. And she said, I thought this was quite an insightful thing. She said the reason Grant loves to travel, who's called the pastor, is because he's called the pastor. What do you mean? The devil doesn't work on him in that area. He works on him in listen, the devil will work on you in the areas of the will of God. He'll work on you. He'll work. What is he trying to do? He's trying to get you unwilling. I said he's trying to get you unwilling. He's trying to get you in a hard flow. Oh, come on, I'm preaching better than your amen. He's trying to get you in a flow where everything's belabored and you don't want to do it. I was talking to an individual just the other day, not here at camp meeting, but just the other day, and they mentioned, we were telling them we were going on a missions trip, and they go, "Oh, man," and they were Christians, actually, serving God and everything, but they said, "Oh, we don't like to travel." I bit my tongue because I don't even know them. They're people I just met that day. And I bit my tongue because I wanted to say, don't say that. Don't say that. If God ever deals with you to do something for him and travel, you're making it hard by that confession. You're making it hard by that confession. So, but I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, don't let that inside of you. Don't let that inside of you. I delight to do the will of God. So don't ever say, "Oh, I don't enjoy this," or "I don't enjoy." Say, whatever God wants me to do, I delight to do it. Some things he'll start dealing with you about just to get the unwillingness out. He doesn't really want you to do it. He just wants you to be willing to do it. Well, that's good preaching, Pastor. So you can silence that voice. You know, whenever you're expressing joy up out of your spirit, what is trying to get in you from out here can't get in. Whether it's I don't want to do that, or, you know, it's just so hard to serve God. All those thoughts, all this stuff. Listen, I'm talking to some people. I can almost, I'm the more I preach, the further in the spirit I can get. And I can almost tell you who I'm preaching to right now. You've got to get that off of you and out of you, or that'll pull you right out of the will of God. Yeah. That fleshiness will pull you right out of the will of God. Yeah. Right out of the will of God. Because it'll get in you without expressions of joy. You have to keep it out of you, keep it from getting in you by rejoicing. Dr. Dufresne traveled full-time all the time, and whenever we would meet him, he'd come in and he said, oh, it's just a delight to be in the will of God. I knew he's answering things. He had to keep the joy and enjoy the road and not make it a hardship. Now, I'm saying things that might not apply to you. You just apply it to you. Maybe it's serving in your department or just getting to church on time. You know, people are always late for something they don't really enjoy getting there. People that drag in late. Now, I realize there are situations where the kids, you know, burped on both ends before they got out the door. You know what I'm I'm not talking about a one-off or a two-off or, you know, you got young kids and it can be a challenge sometimes. But I'm just talking about living that way for no reason other than you just got up late because you didn't really want, you know, you want to, well, tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen. Hallelujah. People that love it and are in the joy flow or in the easy flow, they're there early. They got a smile on their face. They're asking, is there anything I can do? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Philippians 4:4, we shared this a couple of weeks ago. Philippians 4:4 in the Amplified says, gladden yourself in Him. I like that. Gladden yourself in Him. In other words, cheer yourself up. Talk to yourself. Look in the mirror and say, you're full of joy right now. You love to do the will of God. Gladden yourself. Gladden yourself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Gladden yourself. That's not going to, somebody else is not supposed to do it. We enjoy coming to church and getting edified, but listen, it didn't say, let the church gladden you. Gladden yourself. You ought to just on purpose throughout your day, just make yourself, just put a big smile on your face. Oh, I'm so glad to be in the will of God. Just on purpose. Just keep yourself in that flow. If you'll keep yourself in that flow, you won't be out of it for 4 days, and then it's so hard to get back into it. It's much easier to stay in it once you get in it than to be out and then get back. You know, Sunday and Wednesday, you get back. Just keep yourself in that flow, no matter what comes. Amen. Dr. Dufresne always said, your head is a bad place to store my joy. What he's saying is, what other people think of me, their opinion of me, and so forth, that's not my source of joy. Praise the Lord. Every weapon that God has given you to win victories is greater than whatever the devil throws against you in that area. Amen. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Love is greater than hate. Faith is greater than fear. And joy is greater than unwillingness, depression, or any of the appetites of the flesh. If you'll yield to it, it will be great. It'll bring you out of that every single time, and there's not a time that it won't work. Amen. Get skillful at you yielding to it all the time. It doesn't mean you have to be laughing hilariously rolling on the floor all day long. It just simply means you have to draw up, thank you, Father. I'm so delighted to do your will. I'm so delighted to be in your plan. I know they're being a jerk, but listen, I just delight to walk in love. You loved me. Amen. Yes, sir. When I was unlovely. And it's just a joy to show you to them. Keep yourself in that. Demand that be your flow every single day. Get skillful at it without anybody else without coming to church. Get skillful at living that flow in your life. The best times to do it are when you want to do it the least. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse tests and trials. When means in the middle of it. That's when you want to do it the least. You want to sit down and cry. Have a pity party. Have somebody, you know, bring you chicken noodle soup. Have a pity party with you and tell you how bad it really is. Yeah, it's really bad. I know the devil's been beating you up. Oh, he's so big and bad. You know, you almost want to start, you know, serving him or something. People talk about how big he is. No, he's just big in their eyes right now because they're not yielding to the joy of the Lord. Amen. So when you least want to do it, that's whenever you do it by faith. I said you do it by faith. I said you do it by faith. That's answering these things whenever they come. Don't live in a depressed condition. Amen. You answer by getting in the flow of joy. Hallelujah. And really, that's where your deliverance is. Amen. Decide in advance, before any tests or trials come, this is the way I'm going to live. This is my flow. I will be a person full of joy. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on personality. Some people think, well, that's not my personality. I tried that once on the Lord. Notice I said once, because he cured me real fast. We were in a Holy Ghost meeting at Rhema Bible Church, actually, and the joy of the Lord was breaking out, and I don't know what burr under I had gotten under my collar. I'm not sure what happened, but I knew it was God. It was God was moving. We got there late for some reason. We were sitting up in the balcony, and the power of God's moving, the joy of the Lord's moving, and I'm just sitting there. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, is this my spirit? I said, yes, Lord. He said, why aren't you getting in on it? And why I said this to this day, I don't know. It was dumb. I said, Lord, it's not my personality. Just ahead of time, don't ever do that. Don't ever say that to the Lord. Because he said something to me, and it was a low blow. I almost went like this when he said it. He said, yeah, because he knew the way I grew up. He said, yeah, and your personality was basically formed by unbelief. You almost said ouch, even though it wasn't you, it was me. I'm like, oh, I know that didn't come out of my head because I never thought that. Nobody had ever said that, never heard that taught or anything. He knew the way I grew up. And so I said, Lord, forgive me. You're right. And he said, well, why don't you just lean your head back and go, ha, ha, ha. So I did, and I got so drunk. I ended up on my back on the floor. My leg, if I was here, my back's on the floor, and my legs are up on the chair in front of me. And I'm kicking like a dead bug, you know, that's kicking. Or not dead, but he's dying, you know, and he's kicking. And I am drunk. Now, people look at that and say, now, he's in the flesh. But when you get in the spirit and you look at people that are sitting there like that, you look at them and you go, they're in the flesh. They're in the flesh. Amen. Praise the Lord. So don't try that on the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the other side of joy is everything you want. On the other side of the test is everything you want, but you have to get there by expressing joy. Hallelujah. When a test comes, use the right weapon. You remember in Acts 26 when Paul and Silas were in jail, that's a real test. Their backs have been beaten, their feet are fast in stocks. Did I say 16? I meant to say 16. I think I might have said 26. Acts 16, their backs were bleeding, their feet were in stocks. That's a trial. And they're thrust into the innermost prison. And notice they prayed and they sang praises. And when they sang praises, they got delivered. They got out of that. Amen. People, when they enter into a test and trial, they pull out the wrong weapon. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. They go to prayer when they ought to go to rejoicing. All right. Prayer's fine as long as it ends in rejoicing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It's easy. It's easy. It's easy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One of my favorite statements that Pastor Nancy made, you can be seated, in the service where she talked, was it Thursday night, where she talked about the joy of the Lord, was there's many, many, many statements in that service. I mean, there's a lot of revelation that came out of that service, in all these services. But one of the ones that she made that sticks with me the most is that joy, it oils the wheels of obedience. You know what happens whenever the wheels get oiled? They roll easier. They turn easier. It's not a struggle. There's no grinding. You know what I'm talking about? Everything's loose. Hallelujah. So if progressing in the will of God in obedience is a struggle, start rejoicing. Start thanking God for His plan and the honor that He asked you to do that. Start giving Him praise for it. Start saying, Father, I delight to do Your will. It's a joy, Father. You've done so much for me. It's a joy to do something for You. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, the will of God will be a grind. It'll be grievous and heavy, and it's just a struggle, and never seems like it's any. It's just always hard to do it. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. What does count it mean? Put it to your account. I'm joyful about this. Hallelujah. You know, there's more blessing. Let me put it this way. There's no more blessing in unwilling obedience than in disobedience. Amen. I'll say it again. There's no more blessing in unwilling obedience than in disobedience. We've got to do it with joy. How do you tell if somebody's willing? They do it with joy. They do it with, it's a delight to them. There's a lot of people more in the flesh than they realize, isn't there? Amen. You can tell how much in the flesh you are by how hard spiritual things are. In the spirit, things are done with ease. Why? Because you have His help. You have His anointing to do them. And anytime you've got help, things are easier. Even if something's heavy and something's hard. Like if there's not a lot of heavy stuff in here, just maybe that piece of furniture and a few things up here, not that heavy. But if we had one of those big grand pianos in here and I tried to pick it up myself, that'd be heavy. Isn't that right? But if we get enough help, 6-8 guys, you know, it wouldn't be that heavy. We could do it with more ease. Same thing true when you get into the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you to do whatever He asks you to do. Isn't that good of God? He's not asking you to do it in your strength. He's just asking you to be willing and joyful, and then His power will come on you to enable you to do it. I done it. I preached myself happy. Now, if being around people that are always full of joy and they delight in the things of God bothers you, read Numbers 13. The Israelites at Kadesh Barnea sent in 12 spies, you remember. Two of them came back with a good report, 10 with a bad report. But Joshua and Caleb were like, yeah, we can do it. Let's go up at once and possess it. It's the plan of God for us. Woohoo! They're all excited. even though there were iron chariots, walled cities, and giants in the land. In other words, even though it looked hard, yet they're in with both feet. They're all in, man. They're like, let's go right now, right now. Come on, let's go. We can take them. God's with us. They're bread for us. And the other 10 spies, they came back with a report of unbelief. And the people started listening to them more than Joshua and Caleb, and got into unbelief and got so convicted by Joshua and Caleb's faith that they wanted to stone them with stones. You ever been bothered by people who are rejoicing and who are in faith? And you just want, well, yeah, they're just putting all that on. Yeah, they're putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Like Pastor Nancy said, it's in the closet of your spirit too. You just haven't put it on. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I've felt that murderous spirit come on me sometimes. Other people are rejoicing and in faith. Well, they don't know how bad it's been in my life. And if they had any love, they'd be crying with me. No, my answer is not in pulling them down where I am. My answer is grabbing onto them and pull me up. Get me up out of here. It's heavy down here. It's dark down here. There's confusion down here. There's unbelief and demons down here. Get me out of here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. The flesh doesn't want to get out. Let me tell you something about your flesh, because your flesh is like my flesh. All flesh is the same. It loves for people to feel sorry for it. It loves to have pity parties. Yeah. Your flesh. Tell your neighbor, that's talking about you and me. Our flesh loves it. I said loves it. I said loves it. You know, the fact that the devil works on you in certain areas shows you, you can almost pretty much ascertain the will of God right by what he keeps hounding you about. Or what your flesh keeps saying, I just don't want to do that. Well, ringy dingy. That's why I had to bite my tongue whenever that person said, oh, I don't enjoy traveling. I had to bite my, because I wanted to say, don't say that. Even if God calls you to do something and go on a mission trip or something like that, and you've spoken those words, you're going to turn it hard. And get no reward. In fact, you'll talk yourself right out of it. You and your flesh, talk yourself right out of it. Well, praise the Lord. The devil's behind a lot of these things, shows you how he works. This era, listen to this very carefully. The Lord said this to me. This era is the flow of the easy flow. Somebody said, why do you say that? You know why he said it to me? Because he reminded me of the vision Dr. Dufresne had of this era. Of the dry riverbed boat. They're sitting in sand and paddling, and the singing sound like a funeral. Remember? That's my way of paraphrasing what he saw. The dust is flying up. They thought that was the glory. But listen, they were going nowhere. In other words, a lot of struggle, but not going anywhere. Then God took him like over to another flow of a river, that there was a boat floating down the river, and there was gifts of the Spirit flowing. They were praising God, and it was a flow that was moving them forward without even any paddling. They were just in the flow. And that was this era. That was this era. This era is the easy flow. It's the easy flow. Get out of your hard flow. Get into the easy flow, and you'll get into this era. Some people reject what I'm preaching because it sounds too good to be true. Amen. Their flesh and unrenewed mind want to struggle because it wants to be a victim. The mind and the flesh lack the attention that struggling and hardship gets them. It's fleshly. I mean, well, that got quiet. Why'd that get quiet? It's fleshly. Amen. A couple years ago, during a particular season of my flesh not wanting to do some things that the will of God, that God was talking to my spirit about, I was ministering to the Lord one day, and I got a spiritual song. And it goes something like this. Thank you for the easy flow. Thank you for the easy flow. Thank you for the easy flow right now. Going where the Spirit goes. Moving with the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the easy flow right now. And I've been singing that for about a week. It's keeping me in the flow. Keeping me in the flow. Hallelujah. It's there. You just have to tap into it. Just like the era, that flow is there. You just got to get your boat and get in there. Hallelujah. The labored, burdened, heavy flow is the flow that is entered into by choice. Choices people make, in other words, whether consciously or unconsciously. But so is the easy flow. It's making choices. It's making choices. I'm not going to be grumpy about Helps Ministry. See, we got to start on some of these things if we're ever going to get into some of the bigger things. Woo! I just thank God for my church. I thank God that I can come and serve. Amen. Anything that, anytime the things of God are hard, you know something is off. Something's off in your thinking. Do you know God's will for you is his where his best blessings are? And when our flesh doesn't want to do it, something's off with our thinking. Because that's where all the blessings are. Thank you for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Wrong thinking, it will turn things hard. All right, let's talk about a couple things that will make things hard. Number one, worry. The worried flow is a hard flow. People that are worrying, they're carrying the burden all themselves. And that gets heavy. In faith, people, when we enter into faith, we cast our care onto the Lord, and the way gets easy and the burden gets light. Because we're not carrying the burden. You can tell how much worry you're in by how heavy you are. And how heavy all those things in life that you're going through are. You can get that cast over on the Lord and just rejoice. Let the devil be the one tribulate. You just go ahead and enjoy your salvation. Amen. You can tell by how much faith you're in by how joyful you are. And how easy the things that you're flowing in are. Amen. Joy is a fruit of your spirit, but it has to be cultivated. Just like anything that a farmer grows, it has to be cultivated. And, you know, I grew up around crops and so forth, but on both sides of our farm, whenever we were growing up, both sides of Dad's farm, there were orchards, mostly apples, but some peaches. And we'd go back in there and play back in there sometimes. And I never once, you go back there in the springtime, these little apples, they aren't fully grown yet or whatever, are on the vine or on the branches. I never once observed one of those trees going, pop, you know, there comes an apple. Amen. Isn't that right? Yes, sir. Amen. They don't produce fruit by labor. They produce fruit by being connected to the source. All those nutrients and water and so forth in the ground. That just by being connected to that. And that's how you're going to produce fruit. Is staying connected to the joy in your spirit. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Not straining, not struggling. Just cultivating what's already there. Hallelujah. So the reason things are hard is because of worry, number one. The reason things are hard, number two, is because they're not full. people aren't full. If everything in your life is hard, you're living empty. Let me give you an illustration the Lord gave me. I think he gave me this a number of years ago, and I forgot about it until I was getting this on whatever morning that was, Tuesday morning. Have you ever been around somebody who, that the way they keep their gas tank in their car is like always on E? They just get a little bit, and it's right there close to E. A little bit more, and then, and it creates anxiety everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, it's anxious. Like you're watching, you go, oh, can I get there? Oh, you know, and you're just living anxious. Well, you don't have to live anxious. Just get full. Amen. The anxiety is coming out of the emptiness. Creates an anxious flow that's completely unnecessary if you just get full. Once you get full, the anxiety would be instantly gone. Hallelujah. Some people, their entire life is a struggle and anxious and so forth, and it's because they're always in a battle and everything and fighting something. They never rest. It's because they're so empty. Amen. You can get full again by filling up with the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. God's chosen something better for you than just anxious, 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 struggle, 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 always working, 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 hard, 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 everything's hard. I said there's something better for you. It's called fullness. Fullness lifts you up into the right place, into the Spirit, where you get into the flow of His ease. I grew up on the farm where, out in the country, I don't know if it was just some of the neighbors would get together and do this, or I guess it's maybe not unique to our area, but some of the neighbors had those hot air balloons. And the thing about a hot air balloon is it has no propeller, it has no jet engine. You can't control where it goes. The only thing you can do is control how high you go. And depending on how high you go determines the direction you go. Because if you go up maybe 100 feet, there's a little bit of breeze on the surface and it'll take you this way. But you go a little bit higher and all of a sudden there's a flow of air going this way. You understand what I'm talking about? And it's not hard to get there if you get at the right elevation. They would land in our fields sometimes and we'd watch them, and it's really cool. I see them out in California sometimes when we're out there. They're pretty. But the point is, a lot of people, the reason they're going the wrong direction is because they're not getting up high enough. It's just so hard to go that way. Get up in the flow that's going that way. I mean, it's coming clear this morning. Get up in the flow that goes the direction you want to go. And it's not the flow of your flesh. It's not the flow of your mind saying, I don't want to do that. It's the flow of where you get up into the Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. That way you won't have to struggle, struggle, struggle for everything to happen in life. You just get in the flow that takes you there. Praise the Lord. It's beneath your exalted position to always be struggling. Do you think God's up there on heaven's on his throne in heaven struggling with everything that's going on? Listen, the power that's needed to fix everything down here, he can get it to come out of his little finger. Doesn't even have to raise the reference of his fingers, his hand, or that arm, or his whole arm, or his whole torso, or his whole being. Just that fix everything. Hallelujah. It's beneath your exalted position to always be struggling. You reveal you don't know who you are or where you sit when you're always struggling. Your seat is far above everything that comes against you in this life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stop getting down in the battle. You know what I'm talking about? Down in the struggle to get the victory. Stay up in the finished work of Christ. Stay up in the rest of faith. Praise the Lord. Stop going down to the valley of, oh no, God wants me to go on a missions trip. You know what I'm talking about? That's actually a Bible verse. Come down to the valley of oh no and fight us. One king said, come down to the valley of oh no. I like that because it sounds like oh no. That's turning it hard. Why don't you stay up on the heights of oh joy? Oh joy, oh joy. Hallelujah. Up in your seat of oh joy. Tell your neighbor, you got a seat to sit in if you just stay there. You know, people that are always struggling and always talking about their tests and their trials, they're no joy to be around. Have you not been able to have or to make friends? Maybe consider this. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Ain't nobody got time for you. Just always a battle, always struggling. How you doing? Well, wait a minute. I shouldn't have said that. Good to see you. Let's just say that. Amen. Amen. Having trouble making friends? Check up on this area. You know what enhances fellowship? It's joy. It's joy. Not talking about our tests and our trials all the time. That doesn't mean it's wrong to minister to people who are going through things. I wasn't talking about ministry. I'm talking about fellowship. Ministry and fellowship are two different things. There's times we all need ministry or somebody, you know, we all want to be a blessing to minister to somebody. But I'm talking about fellowship. Real fellowship is not a one-way thing. It's a two-way thing. Both are giving something and blessing each other, and that enhances fellowship. But as soon as somebody starts talking about all their tests and trials, fellowship is over. Now it's time for ministry. And somebody who always needs ministry is not going to have a lot of friends. I didn't say who needs ministry. I said always. Always. I mean, that's their flow. They're in the hard flow. Nobody wants to get in that flow with you. Praise the Lord. Don't get mad at me because I'm telling you the truth. That's not the flow God has chosen for you in life. You've taken on the devil's cares and become the devil's pack mule. You're carrying around all the cares of life. Well, don't go ahead and get mad at me now. I guess I'm leaving for 10 days, so you can if you want. It's hard to reach me in Abacon. But that flow is not what God's chosen for you. You've taken on, remember, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You've taken on the devil's new junk. You've taken on his cares, all his struggles and so forth. And Jesus said, I didn't put that on you. That's not from me. That's from the devil. Don't be the devil's pack mule. Be God's racehorse. I refuse to struggle and labor every little thing. I remember whenever we came in from phase one into phase two, it was a tremendous struggle. And I got a hold of what I did wrong during that transition, and I made the decision right there and then. I will never struggle with a transition in ministry or what God asked me to do again. That doesn't mean I don't have to keep my foot on the flesh. I'm just meaning the struggle. The struggle. I lay aside the struggle, and I keep saying, I delight to do your will. I delight to do your will. I delight to do your will. Declare it's easy. So that's another reason. Another reason things are hard is because people are unwilling. Unwillingness is the hard flow. The way of a transgressor is hard. Amen. I found that the devil's always wanting me not to enjoy the will of God. He wants me to always be reluctant and struggle and, you know, be heavy about it. It's a terrible way to live. I said, it's a terrible way to live. His commandments are not grievous. What that is, that unwillingness, whenever somebody just lives in unwillingness, it's that them listening constantly to the wrong voice. The voice of their flesh. And there is demons will help you with that, you understand. There's a wrong voice that'll continually speak hardness to you. Reject that voice. Come on, I said reject that voice. It's not the voice of your Father. It's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's the voice of a demon or your flesh. But demons will talk like that. It's the voice of religious spirits. You ever notice when people get religious? I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about faith. I'm talking about religious, man-made religions. You ever notice they always start talking about suffering and struggling and, you know, doing penance and doing all this hard stuff. It's hard. We got to make it hard. Nope. Wrong flow. Not the flow of Jesus. Not the voice of the Lord. It's the voice of religion. Religion always magnifies the hardship, the suffering, the struggle, the fight. That's because religion is of the flesh. It doesn't sound like Mark 11, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some people have listened to that wrong voice for so long they don't even know they're listening to it. Hallelujah. We know things will oppose us. We know Satan will come against us. We know that he'll try to bring tests and trials and try to devour us. We're not ignorant of that fact. We just don't magnify it. We don't talk about all his... We don't act like he's bigger than God. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We don't magnify the devil and we don't magnify the battle. We magnify the finished work of Christ. We magnify the victory because we have a spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the flow of this era. The Bible teaches us to fight the good fight of faith, but that's a completely different fight in a completely different realm. Yep. Amen. Oh, I wish I had some time. Go ahead and be seated. I'm going to take the time. The word good, when it says fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6:12, the word good means, there's several different words that it means, choice or best. In other words, this is the best way to go about any good fight. It means honorable, distinguished, and noble. So the good fight of faith is for the believer is the distinguished profession of the believer. I said distinguished profession of the believer. Isn't that right? It also means accurate. The good fight of faith is not, whenever a person's fighting the good fight of faith, they're not fighting the devil. That's called missing the mark. That's called beating the air. The good fight of faith is accurate. The good fight of faith hits the mark. In other words, any fight that is a good fight is not one you're just beating the air. You're hitting the mark. And what are you to hit? Hardness. I'm not taking hardness. I deal with hardness. I stay up in the easy flow. Well, I ran out of time. I got to quit. Amen. The good word good in the Greek means beautiful. Amen. It's a beautiful fight. The Woos translation says, be constantly engaging in the contest of the faith, which contest is marked by its beauty of technique. Amen. Standing in faith, saying this is easy, in the presence of something that looks hard, saying, Father, for you this is easy. Yep. You know, your mind can't figure it out, so it seems hard, but for him it's easy. Yep. Standing in faith in the midst of that, saying, Father, I thank you for the easy flow. I thank you. I cast the care of this over on the Lord. You have this is easy for you. This is no hardship for you. That's a beautiful thing. Yeah. I said, that's a beautiful thing. Well, how much more beautiful that is than we gotta fight the devil. We gotta fight. We gotta fight. We gotta fight. Kind of ugly to me. Actually, it's embarrassing. It's not an honorable, distinguished fight. Amen. Hallelujah. It's sound. The word good means sound or sensible. You know, you're not sound-minded by fighting the devil. He's already been defeated. Hallelujah. So fight the good fight. Stay delightful. Stay up in the victory that's already yours. Father, I thank you. I'm going to just stand in the beauty of the victory you already won for me. I'm not going to try to overcome this. I have already overcome it. Why try to overcome something you've already overcome? And you just keep a delightfulness about you. It's not a struggle. It's a rest. The Bible said faith is a rest. When you're resting, you're more delightful. You ever notice that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another reason it's so hard, and I'm done with this one, is because people are in the dark and their minds are blinded. You ever going out in the garage? Us guys are, I don't know, it's just our thing. We just decide, well, I'll go out. I know where the tool is, it's out in the garage. We don't want to turn the light on because, I don't know. So we go out there and we're trying, and it's dark, and we're stumping our toe on things and trying to figure out where we are because we didn't think we were there with where that is because we stumped our toe on something we didn't know was there. Yes, sir. Yep. So we're not where we thought we were. We're somewhere else. Yep. Amen.
Amen.
After you stump your toe, you're looking for where it went. Where did it go? What did I stump my toe on and where did it go? It's just a struggle.
Yeah.
To get the screwdriver off the, it'd be so much easier if you just turn the light on.
Yeah.
Amen. Just turn the light on. Praise the Lord. So, did you get any help out of the Word this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Lift up your hands.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.